Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
Long, the space mercenary.
The space mercenary. My money was on Smuggler.
Not very much dramatic flair there, Long, but, you know, that's okay. It is Friday night.
It's dry, I know.
Kind of gunslinging.
This is one of those weeks that felt like a 2-in-1, I guess. With a tropical storm coming through earlier in the week, long, dreary, rainy days for like 3 days. We ended up pushing football practice back for my son, so we had back-to-back nights. So it's felt like a very long week. I don't know if it felt like that to you guys. It just felt forever for Friday to get here, but it is here, and thank God, because I was like pretty tired today after work, and then I had a very long doctor's appointment, but you know,
as did we were you get just anal saying probe?
Before, anal probe, all
the way. Yeah.
I don't know. I might be in my mid 40s now, but I refuse. I'm refusing the prostate thing, man. I'm just not fucking doing it. You know, it doesn't run in my family, so I don't feel the need to have a finger up my ass. That's just how I feel about it.
You know, there was a guy that got assaulted because the prostate examiner, I guess, accidentally milked this dude's prostate, so he made him, you know, blah.
Yeah.
And then he turned around and started beating the shit out of the doctor.
Oh, fuck.
Got arrested.
I don't even know how to answer that. That would be...
Yeah, the homophobe.
It's a bodily function.
I guess it's a reaction, but the guy shouldn't have beat him, but still, it's like... I mean, maybe he should have fucking jerked off before he went to the doctor. I don't know.
Now, that dude was definitely homophobic. He's like, I got to prove that I'm not gay, so I'm going to beat you up, show you how manly I am, and I'm going to yell quotes from 300 and King Leonidas while I do it.
But yeah, no, I'm a...
Well, that's kind of a gay movie, though.
No. Nah, it's manly.
Lots of homoeroticism.
But unless my doctor...
Visually...
Unless my doctor highly recommends it, I'm not planning on getting probed. So we'll just leave it at that. You guys, y'all do whatever y'all want with y'all's anal cavities. You know? Oh, don't worry, Matt. You've got a few weeks that we get to have some fun with you. You know?
Yeah, that is true.
Assuming they don't delay your elective surgery, don't worry. I'm going to come up with all the jokes in the book.
Yeah, bringing back to what you were saying earlier, Mark, about dragging this whole week. This is like, I'm so low energy right now. I'm actually wearing my old work uniform.
Oh, I see the Republic symbol on there. Oh, nice.
I just thought you were saying you were not wearing anything. That would have been a little scary. Yeah.
Thanks for outing my company, Matt. Now I'm going to get in trouble.
Sorry. The Republic, you know, like Leia or Ghana? No. Yep. There we go. We'll roll
Republic
with that.
Grocery stores.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I mean, who at your work listens to the show? Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know if Kenneth's ever listened to the show or not. That might be the only person I can think of.
Yeah.
Unless you tell people about the show. Yeah. Which I hope you guys tell people about the show. I mean, you know. Listen to our...
I do, but... They have such a strict lockdown at my job. I can't really even talk to anyone.
Yeah.
I'm sequestered away in my cubicle.
Are you fucking selfieing while we record, Matt?
I took a picture of all of us. I'm going to be like, we're recording.
Speaking of gay, but okay. Let's get into the show.
I'm documenting our adventures.
You're documenting.
And we're the three best friends that anyone could have. And we're the three. No?
Oh, that's so sweet. I do. I mean, I see Matt some at work, you know, but it's not like seeing Matt because, you know, it's work. But I do, I do miss you guys. Virtual hugs through the computer. Virtual hugs.
Virtual hugs. Virtual shakes.
Long oh, Lord.
Wait, that's not the signal for a hug.
A vaginal hug.
I just got lightheaded.
Oh wait.
I miss you guys. I'm gonna cry now.
I need to eat my bonbons.
Yes.
And,
eat my bonbons.
And speaking of, so, before we get into the show, our good friend of the show, Winter, is our newest member of Patreon. And she gave us some good feedback on the Almost Famous episode. She really enjoyed it. It's a favorite movie of hers.
Oh, did she?
Of course, she requested it. Yeah, on the Facebook page, she mentioned that we did a great job on that last week's episode. And so pat ourselves on the back for that. I felt it was a good episode, too. And now we continue with this week's episode. And hopefully we keep bringing it. And as we get towards the end of the show, next week is October already. We're going to kick off our third annual Halloween Horrors Month, and we'll talk about that later in the show. But for today, let's get into today's show officially with Download This, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, and checked out. And man, did I slack on this category this week big time. But I'll let you guys go first.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah,
I'll sounded like you were pretty busy.
Yeah, I watched the newest episode of The Boys. Not the one that came out today, but the one that came out last Friday. I watched that one.
Before you continue, I really hate the title of that show, The Boys.
The Boys.
It's like, it sounds such a generic title to me, you know?
Everything
they,
else
they,
is
they couldn't you. They couldn't call them, like, I don't know, The Authority or something like that. I don't know.
Well, when you watch it, you like, understand why.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, if you watch it.
Yeah. Go ahead. What were you saying about The Boys, season two?
Yeah, I watched the newest episode. And I guess it kind of went where I thought it was going to go with I don't want to spoil it, but it went in the direction that I thought it was going to go with two of the supers. So if you haven't watched it, go out and watch it. I also watched a little bit of the Firefly series because of the show we're doing today. Touched up on it, made sure I at least saw some more.
Pretty much all of it. It's only, what, six episodes, right?
Yeah, 13. It's like 13.
13?
But they deleted three, right? They deleted three, then they mixed them up.
We'll talk about more later.
Yeah, but I didn't get to finish watching The Thing, but I started watching The Thing on that I got on Blu-ray last week.
Jumping the gun.
Yeah, I know, right?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I also watched Phantasm. I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, which is horrible. I watched... crap. There was another horror movie in there, but it was forgettable. A forgettable horror movie. Insert forgettable horror movie here. I also watched... I finished watching Gladiator. I wanted to revisit it and watch it.
But Matt, aren't all horror movies forgettable?
No. I'll never forget. There are, I think it's definitely not like the action movie genre. You know, you have, I think maybe 10 horror movies tops. I think that I can really say that they're unforgettable and, you know, maybe shaped how I viewed the genre. You know, action movies, I think you probably have 20, if you had a list of action movies that kind of shape your taste in that genre. And then, like you said, comedies, I watched a little bit of, it's Monty Python. And, I think it's the Mystery of Life or the Something of Life. I watched part of it, but it was the part with the bucket. Bring me a bucket. I'll send it to y'all later. It's very disgusting and disturbing, and maybe we'll do another Monty Python movie in the future. But John Cleese is in it, of course, and he's very good. You know, he does his thing. He's always kind of the same guy in every skit. But I love them, you know. And I think that's about it for me.
Didn't you go see Empire Strikes Back?
Oh, I saw Empire Strikes Back. Yep. Yesterday.
Oh, crap. Akira was going to show today, wasn't it?
Was it today or was it next week?
I don't remember. It's next week. Akira 4K.
It could be this week. Yeah. I mean, they'll probably have it in theaters for, you know.
Yeah. It's like one night only. That's what it was.
That's what I saw.
Yeah. But, okay. Well, my download this is kind of last minute. But I was watching bits and pieces of Batman 89. And I just love how... I just love the art direction of the movie altogether. It's gothic style. And it's so operatic in a way, too. The way it's kind of celebrates his over-the-topness. In a way, where you know the Nolan Batman was more grounded, but this is definitely comic book operatic and very stylized.
Oh yeah, with the police chief.
yeah,
kind of that West, you know, Adam West kind of feel in there.
No, not really.
No, not that much, but you know.
Yeah, it's definitely. I just like how it just has such a great. Tim Burton has such a great vision for that movie, and it really shows. And
still my favorite Batmobile.
Yeah, that Batmobile is still pretty awesome. And I would have to say also, played a little bit of Super Mario Galaxy. That's such a fun game. It still holds up after 12 years of not playing it. It's a beautiful game on HD. And that's my download this. Didn't do much. Got home and just surfed YouTube. You know, just watch random videos here and there. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I kind of slacked this week, too. I watched a couple more episodes of Cobra Kai, so I'm about halfway through season two. And that's honestly about all I've watched this week. I haven't spent a lot of time in front of the television. I've either been busy every day with stuff to do at the house or...
Did you watch sports or anything?
A little bit of the Astros and I'm still playing Star Wars Galaxies a lot since I got back on that emulator. So I have played that some. But that's about all I've done this week. I've kind of slacked as far as I did kind of search around the other night, kind of looking for a movie to watch, but just nothing really interests me enough to want to pay to rent anything, you know. I'm kind of curious about that Invisible Man remake that came out. But even then, I was like, do I want to spend $6 for this? Because it'll probably go streaming eventually, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's about it. I mean, I watched a little bit of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood the other night, but that's kind of become my normal thing to kind of watch a little bit of it here and there lately. That movie is...
So have you become that Leo DiCaprio meme where he's pointing at the screen
it's become like
while watching that.
That's become like my go-to study movie, man. Like I just keep watching it, and like I watch parts of it, and you know I can't tell you how many times I've seen the whole thing all the way through. Maybe only twice, but just like you know, it's funny because I didn't like it when I first watched it, and the more I watch it, like I really like it a lot.
It grows on
like,
you, huh?
Yes, it's one of Tarantino. It might be one of his best. And I'm so curious about the extended version. He says he's going to kind of do... He wants to do like he did with Hateful Eight and hopefully put the extended version out on a streaming platform eventually. So I hope we get to see that, you know, because it's... I'm curious what else there is in that movie. And Brad Pitt...
I still have... Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
And Leo are so damn good in it, you know.
Yeah, I've still have yet to watch Django Unchained and this movie. And were there any other movies? I know I've seen Inglourious Basterds already.
You finally saw that, yeah.
Hateful Eight, yeah. Did I ever tell you my thoughts on Inglourious Basterds?
Mm-hmm.
I think I have. I just told you I was disappointed in it. Wasn't quite as enthralled by it as I was with Hateful Eight. I liked Hateful Eight more than Inglourious.
Well, I think Inglourious Basterds to me is real similar to Once Upon a Time. It has to grow on you some, you know. And But man, Once Upon a Time is I really like a lot. And, yeah. You need to get on it long. You need to watch them. Even I was.
Yeah.
I was behind on Tarantino. Yeah. Now you're behind.
Yeah. Yeah. All I have left to watch is Django Unchained and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, really, to catch up. So.
Yeah. Django's a pretty easy watch. You sit down and the 2.5 hours will go by quick. So.
Yeah. Yeah, watching Christoph Waltz in the non-villain role would be entertaining. You know?
Yeah, he's a really good actor. So.
Yeah.
You know, we'd even talk. Did we talk about the? Yeah, a couple weeks ago we talked about the No Time to Die trailer, where you got a glimpse. Mm-hmm. I guess Blofeld's still in it because you get a glimpse of him in the new trailer.
So. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. All right. Well, let's get into today's featured film then. A movie that was spawned from the television series Firefly, which was on Fox in 2002, back when Fox did not, well, I don't know if they still know how to handle television shows, and they aired this thing out of order. They kind of aired like 6 episodes, and they took it off the air. They came back, and they aired like 4 or 5 more episodes. There were like 3 episodes that never made it to air. Fox just mishandled the show all around, but the show garnered a huge cult following. It had its fans. The DVD sales went through the roof. Source couldn't even keep it in stock. That's how popular the DVD became. Popular enough that Josh Whedon wrote a script for a sequel and shopped it around. And he had trouble getting the film made at first, but then the fan base was very vocal online. And Universal Pictures started to notice, like, hey, there's something here. And Universal told him they wouldn't greenlight it without a script. They told him to go home, write a script, come back, and we'll talk about it. And he came back with a script, and within a few hours, they greenlit the film. And that film is, of course, Serenity. And Serenity is the name of the spaceship they fly in the television show Firefly. And Firefly is the style of ship that Serenity is. So it's all connected. This is a movie and show that I did not watch when it was on Fox, but I discovered it later on through DVD and stuff like that. And I actually saw Serenity before I watched the television series. And then I went back and watched all 13 episodes, and I was like, wow, things in the movie make so much more sense now. But it's also a movie that's accessible if you haven't seen the TV show, because they do a good job of giving you a lot of background on the characters. And I think I probably first discovered Serenity and Firefly maybe a year after the movie came out, probably 2006 or so, 2007. And I love it, man. It's probably one of my favorite things that Joss Whedon's done. I know I didn't summarize the film. Anybody want to summarize it? Long? You feel like you need to summarize today.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've summarized the film. Basically, it's a group of ragtag mercenaries or criminals. Robbers, I guess? Because they seem to take odd jobs in the series, yeah, too.
They're kind of like Robin Hood.
But, yeah.
Robin Hood style character. Yeah. They steal from the bad guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And basically it starts out with them on the heist to get some alliance money. And they run into some Reavers who are crazed humans and who have no control whatsoever on their impulses. And then they basically discover that River, one of their crewmates, is an actual genetic weapon. And they follow this rabbit hole of, okay, where did she come from? Why is she acting this way? How come she's such a good fighter? And takes them to a planet called Miranda. And Miranda has this secret that could topple the entire galactic government, where it was a giant planetary experiment that failed. And then from that point on, they tried to take the secret and broadcast it galaxy-wide in order to expose the failed experiment that gave birth to the marauding Reavers and basically killed the rest of the planet who weren't, who didn't become Reavers. And that's my synopsis.
While an assassin was on their tail the entire time.
Yeah. While an assassin is on their tail.
played
not
very
your typical
well
by, antagonist, yeah.
No, but very well acted by how do you say it? Chetwell Okafor. His name's kind of hard to say, but he's really good in this movie. Legitimately kind of scary too. You know, it's like he's so in control, and you know from the beginning of the movie. Yeah, calculating from the beginning of the movie when he kills the scientist with a sword, you're like, man, this guy's not fucking around.
Nope.
You know, and Matt.
He's very polite about killing people, though.
Yes, he's very polite about killing people. Matt, I know you kind of discovered Serenity and Firefly through me because I kept raving about it to you. And what's your initial impressions?
I think.
Oh, wait, is this your first time seeing it?
Yes, I had waited to watch Serenity until this week, but I had seen the series.
Okay.
Mark gave me the heads up when Vudu had a sale, and I think the whole series was what, like $5 or $7,
or $5 or something.
Yeah, something like that. So, got the whole series on Vudu. Watched maybe 4 or 5 episodes at first. Watched a few more this week, but yeah, initial impressions overall. This movie, even though it's a sci-fi, obviously it feels more like a Western, you know, it's very much a Western. I feel like out of all the like postmodern, you know, futuristic movies, I think this movie is probably the closest that we'll ever get to what the future may be like. People are using lasers, but only in like minor, you know, lasers are hard to find. Mainly most people are using powder fire weapons, and I think it's a more realistic take on the future, and it's no wonder Joss Whedon got the Avengers job. This is his first movie that he directed, and this is what we got. You know, it's really good, really well done, and enjoyed it.
And he set out to make a space western, so you hit the nail on the head. And you know, this movie was made for $40 million. Universal would not budge on the budget. They said, like, look, we're going to make your television film, but you have to stick to the budget. And it actually looks really good for a $40 million film. They had to rebuild sets because a lot of the sets had already been taken down from the television show. And they actually got some of the cast and members and stuff to help build the sets to save money and not having to hire crew members, which was kind of cool. Yeah. And
nice.
And you know, and they filmed as much location shooting as they could too, to avoid having to build more virtual sets and things like that. So that saved them some money. But it's a miracle this movie got made in the first place after a television show that ultimately, despite its cult status, was ultimately a failure. And, but this was one of the first times I remember a fan base being very vocal to get this film made. And it actually worked, you know, Universal listened. And, of course the movie wasn't huge. Unfortunately, that didn't translate to box office. The movie did okay at the box office, but not as well as they would have liked it to have done, considering the vocal fan base. But it found a home video. It found a home on DVD and Blu-ray and streaming. And now it's the show, and the movie has turned profit over the years because of that. And I like the fact that like you said, Matt, this movie, it feels very close to what the future could be. It has its own slang in it. There's only two languages that still exist in the movie, and that's English and Chinese, which is actually explained in one of the television episodes, but they don't really explain that in the movie. Yeah. So it's one of those little
America
things if you had watched. Yeah. Or the American and China. The major powers. So if you had seen the television show, you get some of that appreciation a little bit more. Whedon also based the script on his ideas for if there was a second season of the show. A lot of people complain about why did he kill off Wash and Shepherd Book in the movie? Well, Wash and Shepherd Book only had small contracts with the Fox and the television. So if the show had had a second season, they were going to die off anyway. So he just put that into the movie. So a lot of people thought that, like, hey, if the television show had been saved because of the movie, you couldn't bring those people back. And Whedon has answered that several times, saying that was always in the plans, that those characters were going to be killed off. Because the actor who played Shepherd Book was a much older actor, so he didn't want to commit to a lot. And I guess Alan Tudyk had already had a contract with another show, so there was a reason why he might not have been able to stay on Firefly. So,
yeah.
And So there was a reason for that, because it felt like, oh, you're killing all these characters in the movie. So I know it was all part of the plans.
Yeah, Shepard, I always felt like Shepard, like watching the series a little bit, like maybe he had a secret, like, you know, he couldn't have always been a preacher. Like maybe right. he worked for the Alliance at, you know, at one point had some secrets. I think they alluded to that a little bit.
They do. And there's a comic book. Yeah. There's a comic book out that tells some of his story.
Yeah.
My favorite part in this movie is whenever they shoot at the Reaver ships and then everyone just follows him. He's like, they're not going to be expecting this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, someone please fire.
Fire. He loses his cool for the first time ever right there. Yeah. He's just so calm and collected. Yeah. Until then.
It is a great sequence. And that's the cool thing about like this ragtag group. Like you kind of root for them all in some ways. Cause Mal's the kind of captain that like he takes charge of his ship, but like you also don't mind working for him because he's kind of cool. You know, like you want to be Captain Mal. Jane is that guy who's always got the guns and the badass, you know, and then Doc and River are kind of tag-alongs, which that's explained in the series why they're tagging along. And the movie kind of answers it too, why they're tagging along.
Yeah. And,
actually met Sean Marr, who plays the Doc at one of the early Compaloozas we went to. And, he was kind of a dick, to be honest.
Well, he does voice Dick.
Sean Marr plays the Doctor.
Oh, okay.
He's also the voice
DC animated stuff.
Yeah, Dick, you know. And then Teen Titans, Nightwing.
Dick Grayson, that is, right?
Dick Grayson, yeah.
Okay.
But, so, you know, not every celebrity you meet is always a nice guy, but hey. But it is what it is. But yeah, the Reaver scene in this movie is really good. I like the ending, too. And where River just says fuck it, she goes in there and takes them all out herself and saves the day, because at that point we didn't know if any of them were going to survive. And you know, this movie does cross the line where, you know, it's classic Whedon, where it's got the one-liners and it's kind of got the comedy, but there's also a sense of dread in his films. And you know, you could argue that, you know, Firefly might be the best thing he's done, you know, because like Buffy is very much 1990s. You watch it now, it doesn't hold up as well. To me, Serenity and Firefly is a little more timeless. I think it holds up a lot better. And it's a really great
universe. You don't like his Avengers movie?
No, I do like Avengers, but I don't like I've always had a problem with the one-liners in the Avengers. Like, there's this part in there where Hawkeye is jumping off a building, and he throws a one-liner out there. No one's going to drop a one-liner when you're jumping off a building shooting shit. You're going to be fucking focused. And that kind of stuff kind of irritates me sometimes. And I know it's a comic book film.
Yeah.
You're supposed to suspend your belief, but the movies also should be a little more realistic. That's just my thought on it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, considering it's hard. I remember how excited I was watching the Avengers before in the theater before it started, you know, and then after watching Infinity War and Endgame, I'm like, I don't really have a desire to watch the first Avengers movie. You know?
And then Age of Ultron is even worse. Age of Ultron is 2.5 hours of one-liners. It's like, and sometimes Whedon gets like that. And I think the great thing about Firefly and Serenity is that it's a little more focused. I think he does a better job with this, making it a little more serious. But there is enough comedy in it to keep it fun. Because as you go on this adventure with the Firefly crew, you want to have fun too and be part of their story. And some really good characters that he wrote in this show and in this movie.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion's character Mal originally was written to be a kind of like a dark and kind of bitter kind of person, and he is, but he's also kind of funny with it. He's got some kind of morbid humor. You know, especially whenever he's leaving at first and he's like, oh, I might even shed a tear, you know, when he's talking about if River had gotten hurt, you know, oh, if she dies, I might even cry for a little bit. Just might.
All right. But he's also loyal to his crew. Like he has like that smartassness to him, but he's also going to do everything he can to protect everybody because he considers his family too. But he also has a sense of authority to him that he's like, look, I'm not fucking around, but yet I got your back also.
Yeah, and that speech at the table when he's like, no more running, you know?
Oh yeah.
And that was a good one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like him. I like Nathan Fillion. He also voiced Cade Six in Destiny. And then of course he's the voice of the Green Lantern and the series that just ended, DC animated films.
And he was also Steve Trevor on the first Wonder Woman animated movie.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Castle. Don't forget Castle.
Castle.
He was in. Yeah. Yeah.
That always wanted ABC him to play, series. Always wanted him to play Nathan Drake. And, you know, he did the short film, the fan film where he played Nathan Drake, because he would be great. But, you know, I guess we're getting Tom Holland as a young Nathan Drake now. And, you know, Firefly is interesting. It's like, you know, it's been continued in some comic books that stories are continuing continuity. There was talk for years about a revival where Whedon shopped it around, tried to get somebody to pick it up. And but now, obviously, the cast has gotten much older. The actor who plays Shepherd Book has passed away. And a lot of them have moved on to other things. You know, so it's a shame of what, you know, if Firefly 3 was ever to make a comeback, it would be probably a total reboot at this point. I always wish that there was more. I always often wonder when I watch the 13 episodes in the movie, it's like, there's so many story amounts there that like, what would they have done? You know, like you said, mm-hmm. Matt, the secrets of Shepherd Book, where Mal and the crew would go after losing Wash and, you know, and continue with their adventures. And, I think watching Serenity is bittersweet. It's a really good movie and you enjoy watching it, but you're also like, man, what if we had gotten more adventures?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, there are other shows that came around and picked up the slack. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I own the series.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Didn't like the opening theme song. It's a weird theme song.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've moved on from Firefly since watching it.
Oh, yeah.
But I do appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, The Expanse is a really good science fiction space show. It's really good. It's excellent, actually. Not Babylon 5, but I'm talking about the mid-2000s. You know, you still have Battlestar Galactica still going on.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Those are my two bits. But I enjoy it. Go ahead.
I've moved on from it, too. But then, like, when I do rewatch it, like this week, watching Serenity, it just always makes you think, man, what if we had gotten more? It brings back those memories. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I've accepted it and moved on, and we got what we got out of it. And it's still really good science fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the movie definitely ended things a lot better than the TV show. The TV show was just a sudden end, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm glad that they were given a chance to conclude at least the major story threads for the Firefly show within the movie. And I'm sure that it's not an easy job to do. You have to introduce a new audience to make money, and then you also have to satisfy your current fans who watched the TV show.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
quite the balancing act, but he pulled it off.
Oh yeah, definitely did a good job with it. And you know, rewatch it this week, I think this movie is still very good, and I give it a pretty solid A-. You know, I think it's still, you know, I think it's really well done. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it does ask you a little bit to have watched the show, but if you've never watched the show and you watched it, maybe give it a B+. But having watched the show to watch the movie, for me, it's an A-.
Yeah. I definitely give it an A personally too. The speech, the action sequences, the dread of the Reavers attacking. Yeah. The excellent antagonist too, in the Believer assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great cast of characters. You know what their jobs and roles are and their dynamics. But yeah, for me, an easy A.
I think it's an A too. I just think what Joss Whedon was able to do in 2 hours with the budget cuts and trying to shrink his vision into a 2-hour movie, I think he did a really good job. There's even some lens flare in there, but not some J.J. Abrams lens flare. Some different kind of lens flare that's pretty cool. I'd give this movie an A. It's probably one of the best TV movies ever.
Back-to-back weeks with A's. And a little side note, too. Most of the space scenes in Firefly are all shot without sound because that's what it would be like if you really are in space. You're not going to hear anything. Now, in the movie, they do put sound in the movie. You can hear the laser battles and some explosions. And that was mostly because the studio felt that, you know, like, hey, people are going to the movies. They want sound. They're not going to quite understand why there's no sound in the space scenes. But there is, when they're escaping the Reavers and they take off, there is no sound when he initially blasts the Reaver ship. So he still gets his no sound moments in there. But just a little interesting fact about Firefly, that there's no sound during most of the space scenes. So, yeah, good stuff. But a very popular movie, too. It's definitely got its following. And with that note, man, our top five this week is kind of makes sense. Top five television to movie adaptions. So television shows have been adapted to movies. And that's our top five this week. Who wants to start the top five?
I didn't get to work on it, but I'll improvise. Yeah. I wasn't slacking. Well, now I am.
Number five for me, I have the Transformers movie.
Oh, that's cool.
It's animated,
there's some hardcore Transformer fans that might have a problem with that choice.
Yeah.
Well, my number five is G.I. Joe, the movie that kind of started it all. Why did Duke have to go, man? No, joking. I really like the G.I. Joe movie. It's really fun to watch, especially with the introduction of the animated one. Yeah, and I kind of like the second G.I. Joe with The Rock. That's kind of entertaining.
Yeah, the second one was better than the first one, yeah. Especially the ninjas on the mountain, that was pretty cool.
But I still give the first one, I kind of put them on the same level because the first one had the Baroness, and she's one of my favorite villains on screen. So, Sienna Miller as Baroness in black leather, yeah. Can't go wrong with that.
My number five is the Addams Family movie.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good one.
Nice.
A really good adaptation, you know. It's a movie that, like, when it came out, I was in high school, so I didn't really give it the time of the day. So I was like, it's old shit. But when I got older and watched it, like, it's actually really good. So it's something I appreciated more over time.
Cool.
Matt.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got Monty Python and the Holy Grail, of course, based off of the Monty Python TV show. And a legendary comedy.
Yeah. Good choice, Matt.
Thanks.
They also adapted, you've seen the movie, Something Completely Different, right?
Yeah.
Brian. Yeah. Yeah. They adapted a bunch of their classic skits into that movie.
So. That was the theme of a lot of their films. And, I had forgotten about the scene that I talked about earlier in the show, the bucket scene. I'd forgotten about that. My dad sent it to me. My dad's a big Monty Python fan. But I'm gonna have to revisit some Monty Python this week to lighten up the month we're about to get into.
Yeah. My number four, same as your number five, was Transformers. I would have to go with, Optimus Prime death. I'm still a little salty about that.
Yeah.
There's no reason to kill him. But other than that, they killed off Ironhide too. He was my favorite too. But that's my number four. It would have been a lot higher if they hadn't killed Optimus. But that's just me. So.
My number four is...
Go ahead, Mark.
My number four is the movie we just spent 30 minutes talking about, and that's Serenity. I think it's a great expansion of the television series, as we just said. And I just said that. So we move on to number three.
Okay. I've got the Mask of Zorro as number three. you know, I think that I was just really impressed watching it again. And I felt like it's a great, you know, TV adaptation movie, still entertaining today. And man,
I still remember the theme song. I still remember the theme song to the Zorro TV series.
Yeah.
Out of the night, when the full moon is bright, comes a horseman known as Zorro. Yeah. I can't believe I remember that. I would have known about that song if it weren't for one time my mom rented those Disney sing-along videos as a kid. So they had that Zorro TV theme on one of the sing-along volumes. So that's awesome. How I still remember it. Yeah. My number three, I stole this from Mark, but it's the Addams Family. It is considered the best 90s adaptation. There was a trend going for a while in the 90s, right? Beverly Hillbillies was adapted. And what was another TV show besides the Addams? The Brady Bunch. Yeah. The Brady Bunch movie.
Yeah,
the Brady Bunch movie. There was like a trend of classic TV shows to movie adaptations.
Yep.
And but the Addams Family is considered the best of that trend. In the mid to late 90s.
Well, I would argue the movie I have at number three is probably the best of that trend. And that is The Fugitive.
Oh, really?
Harrison Ford. I mean,
It
was nominated for an Oscar. It's an incredible film. Film we should cover one day on the show.
It was The One-Armed Man.
Oh, such a great movie, though. Full of suspense and intrigue, and you can't wait to see how it all unfolds, and definitely a great adaptation of the classic TV series The Fugitive.
That was Tommy Lee Jones, right? And Harrison Ford?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's been a while since I've seen that.
With Andreas Katsoulis playing the One-Armed Man, who was also went on to play Babylon 5.
Yeah.
Me.
Number two.
Number two for me. I did our feature film Serenity. Number two. Very impressed.
My number two might surprise y'all. It's the A-Team movie.
Oh yeah.
It's my guilty pleasure. It may not be the best TV adaptation, but I enjoyed Liam Neeson in the role as Hannibal. Bradley Cooper was Space.
I actually own that movie because I really enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Solid action. I don't know why it didn't get the fair shake it did. Yeah. Maybe because, I don't know, Mr. T didn't like the killing.
Yeah, wrong timing maybe too. Yeah.
Yeah, bad timing. It paid homage to the A-Team show. I watched that a lot as a kid, the A-Team.
Yep.
So, and then, Charlton Copley played Mad Murdock. Yep. I thought that was a perfect casting.
Mm-hmm.
But my number two was the A-Team movie. Go ahead, Mark.
My number two is Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Snap.
Sequel to the TV sequel to one of the television episodes, and a much closer adaptation of the TV show than the motion picture was. Because, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, it really is. Motion pictures, it is, you know, I don't know, they were trying to be
artsy. It's plotting.
Yeah. But Wrath of Khan is much closer to what the TV show was and arguably the best adaptation of the classic TV series.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark. Matt, what's your number one?
Number one, I might get some slack from this from true Star Trek fans, but I really like J.J. Abrams' first Star Trek film. I did not know Star Trek except for the reruns that I would see with Picard, you know, in The Next Generation, and I couldn't really remember much of it, but watching that again just made me kind of get into Star Trek and buying some of the old Star Trek movies and watching them, I felt like, you know, JJ did a solid job, and I forgot to mention it, but I did watch Into Darkness this week. The new one. Well, obviously it's a new one, Into Darkness. The new Khan. And I just, you know, very impressed with that trilogy of films. I think Star Trek Beyond could have been better, maybe. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was the weaker one out of the three, but whenever they play Sabotage over the speakers and they're like, classical music.
Yeah, classical music. No, I'm in reverse on that. I felt that Star Trek Beyond was the stronger movie because it felt more like classic Trek to me.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it was great seeing Captain Kirk being a captain rather than learning to be captain. You know, it's great to kind of finally see him in that light where he takes command, he's doing what he can. He's not learning how to be captain anymore. He's already in it for a couple of years now.
That's true.
There's a lot of elements I like. And the fact that they split up all the crew members and you get to know the crew members even more, see how they react to certain situations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, stronger character moments and beyond for me personally.
That's true.
But you still, I mean, I don't know. Benedict Cumberbatch is a great actor, but Ricardo Montalban has so much charisma as Khan, you know?
Yeah, I will say personally, that. It's just two different adaptations of that character. And yeah. I think Montalban is just classic. It's timeless. It's a timeless performance. And, like you said, Cumberbatch's was good, but, you know, I think Montalban's performance is more memorable.
Yeah. I just love his line, back on Earth, I was a prince, you know. my number one is actually going to be a slight surprise, I hope, but it's going to be The Naked Gun from The Files of Police Squad.
I'm not surprised.
The TV show aired for only 6 episodes, but it still spawned a movie, and it's still one of my all-time favorite comedies of all time.
And 2 sequels, right?
Yep, The Naked Gun. Trilogy.
Yep.
Love it to death.
My number one, I'm actually surprised that, well, I'm not surprised because long did his list at the last minute, but that neither one of y'all put it in. It's the entire 7 films we've gotten in the Mission Impossible franchise. The best television to movie adaptions we've ever had done. Highly successful. Say what you want about Tom Cruise. The movies have a lot more in common with a TV show than people realize. Like, if you really look up the nods they've done to the original show, they've actually done quite a bit. Cruise has taken that franchise and made some really great action films. Fallout's incredible. It's one of the best action movies made in the last several years. And now they're going to film the next 2 back-to-back. And we'll see where they go from there. But it's hard to argue. As popular as Star Trek is, what Tom Cruise in the Mission Impossible franchise has done in the last 20 years has been pretty remarkable to keep that franchise going and very successful at the box office. And so I gave it a slight – I really toyed with that. Should it be number one or Star Trek number one? You could interchange them very easily, but I guess modern memory
– whichever one makes the more money.
Right. And I think that's the thing. Modern memory and the success of Mission Impossible – last 20 years over Star Trek's success the last 20 years, I think Mission Impossible, I gave it the slight edge.
Star Trek was more a hit and miss. It was not as consistent as Mission Impossible as far as
I think that's why success. I gave it the slight edge. But I enjoy both franchises either way. So, good stuff. All right, let's get some news in before we get out of here. We got more movies moving around. We're not going to get Black Widow till next year. Shang-Chi till next July, Eternals till next November. Studios continue to struggle how to release these films in the world of the pandemic. And I don't know. I'm still rooting for more stuff to come on demand. That's just me.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, because Mulan failed, you know, on Disney Plus, they weren't going to release Black Widow, but I'm like, you ding dongs. You know, Mulan wasn't even a good movie to begin with. You have all this controversy surrounding freaking concentration camps around Mulan, you know, and then freaking, you know, and it's not even a good movie.
Tough, man. Did you watch it long?
No, I'm not spending $30 on something I'm already.
My sister bought it. The price of streaming is just like, nah.
$30? Fuck that.
Dude, they
own the fucking movie.
They make it like she knew how to fight from a kid and that she had some special gift. Like she's a friggin' superwoman Wonder Woman type character. And then there's no Mushu. There's no Mushu. There's no Cricket jumping around. There's no charm. There's no charm. It's like they're like, we're going to make her into this action warrior.
That's what a lot of the critics were saying, that the movie just has no soul.
Yeah. It's some Ninja Assassin may be a better movie than that. I would rather watch Ninja Assassin over and over. If I had to pick one to watch.
Or the original Mulan.
At least you know Ninja Assassin. I would love to watch the
original Mulan. Yeah. But yeah, this Mulan, no, man.
No, the original Mulan had definitely more charm and personality and a better set of songs, better action, better directed, tightly scripted. The character earned her stripes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Wonder Woman, even though she had super strength and all that, she still had to earn her place, you know.
Absolutely.
In the movie.
Exactly. Yep.
So, anyways.
The Peacemaker, John Cena's character from Suicide Squad that comes out next year.
That's funny.
Is getting his own TV show on HBO Max. And James Gunn said that it's kind of, he kind of pitched it as an idea haphazardly. And I guess HBO was like, or Warner Bros. Was like, sure. So if you read James Gunn's statement, this is kind of happening by accident. But it's definitely happening. So. We're going to get
it. Yeah, fucking John Cena's like, okay, steady paycheck.
How are we going to, you know, is he an invisible character? And that's why they cast him?
Oh, right. You can't see me?
Yeah. Oh. All right. Can we move on?
Are you going to cast someone no one can't see?
Oh, Lord. Nick Fury's going to get his own TV show on Disney Plus, which... I'm not sure why this didn't happen sooner. Out of all the Marvel TV shows they're making, doesn't it feel like Nick Fury made the most fucking sense from the beginning?
Yeah.
And now it's finally going to happen. So that'll be cool. I think that's going to be a good show. And they also officially announced that Falcon and Winter Soldier, we're definitely not going to get it this year, probably next spring. But we did get a WandaVision trailer. Rumor is it's going to hit Disney Plus before Christmas. I don't know, man. The trailer didn't do
a lot. It's about time, too.
The trailer didn't do a lot for me. I mean, I'm still going to watch the shit out of it, don't get me wrong. But the trailer just kind of had me going, eh, whatever, you know?
I'm intrigued by it. It kind of gives off that quirky Fallout 3 vibe to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Yeah. And that's what I picked up on. I'm definitely interested in seeing it. I wonder if they'll set up any kind of like seeds of her turning into a villain like she did in the comic book series, where she alters reality itself. Wanda does go crazy in the comic books.
What's the her name, the actress? Ugh.
Elizabeth Olsen, man.
Oh, that's right.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll watch anything she's in. I mean, you know, so I'll watch it.
The best Olsen.
Yeah. She's not related to the other Olsens.
It's like, you might like Scarlett Johansson or Gwyneth Powell Candle, but...
Gwyneth never really did it for me. Like Gwyneth Powell Candle. Yeah.
If you know that reference, but don't sleep on Elizabeth Olsen.
No, but they're saying that Monica Rambeau is going to be in it. The character from the kid from Captain Marvel. Yeah, she's all grown up now in WandaVision. So,
Very interesting. Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, we'll see. Lastly, the only other news I had was Netflix officially canceled The Dark Crystal after one season.
That's almost a crime.
Yeah, I never did finish honestly. Watching it, but apparently the ratings weren't there. Not enough people tuned in. Not sure why, because you would think the nostalgic factor would be there, considering everything else that's 80s is popular right now. Maybe the ratings just weren't high enough for the cost of the series.
That's why people don't trust Netflix shows anymore. You know, they're just not getting invested because Netflix keeps canceling shows once they finally hit a stride.
Yeah. And,
you know, so I just don't get it.
Yeah. No, it's hard. I mean, you want to enjoy something and commit to it, but then you get a show like Lost in Space. You know, it hasn't done as well as they thought, but then they're giving it a third season just to finish up the loose ends and the stories and stuff. So they're going to spend money on that, but they won't spend money on a show like this. So, you know.
Puppets. How expensive it is to shoot puppets.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Because I've seen most of the first season of Lost in Space, and that's got to be an expensive-ass television show. There's lots of special effects.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
I like it. It's just a little predictable. And every single episode, one of the family members is in trouble. You know they're not going to die. So it's just kind of like, you know, it became a little bit repetitive. But not bad. But yeah, that's all the news I got this week. But
One more.
You got one?
Oh, snap.
This is big news.
A contribution.
That's which right.
Means it's not
big. Don't disappoint me.
Hold on to your butts.
I'm already
because Vin Diesel just released his first pop single.
No more.
He's a pop star now.
No.
He lives his life one pop album at a time now.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't care about dime store rock. So
pop. Vin Diesel. Who gives a fuck?
I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to.
The minute he said Vin Diesel, I'm like, okay. Brain turned off.
Brain turned off.
We are just a week away from October. And a couple years ago, we started a tradition of Halloween Horrors Month. So we're getting ready for Halloween Horrors 3. I didn't name it Halloween Horrors 2020 just because this year's been so fun. I was just like, I named it Halloween Horrors 3. So we're going to cover some horror films this year. We're going to get away from just slasher films and do a couple of fun films too. As we're going to cover animated horror film with Monster House, we're going to do a sci-fi horror film with Mars Attacks. We are going to talk Hellraiser. We are going to talk the 40th anniversary of Friday the 13th. But we're going to kick it off next week with John Carpenter's classic, The Thing.
Just discovered something. For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it. Or hear it. Or feel it.
I know I'm human. Some of you are still human. This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to. But it's vulnerable out in the open. If it takes us over, then it has no more enemies. Nobody left to kill it. And then it's won.
You guys gonna listen to Gary? He can beat one of those things!
This is a good one. A very good movie. Possibly John Carpenter's best film. You know, you could argue that. I'm looking forward to it. That's all I can say, man. I haven't watched
it. I've never seen the movie.
You've never seen it long? Really?
Ooh. Never seen
it. You're in for a treat, man. I think you're going to enjoy it.
I've seen clips, but I've never seen the actual whole movie from beginning to end.
One of my favorite actors of all time, Kurt Russell, is in it. I always loved me some Kurt Russell movies. It's good practical special effects with a good story with a lot of intensity to it. I will say no more because I'm glad that Long is going to enjoy watching this for the first time.
Oh yeah. And if you are a dog lover, this is not for the faint of heart.
No,
I almost said taint of heart. It's faint of heart,
but it should be a fun month on the Rubber Eel podcast. It's October is kind of our lead in to finishing out the year. We've got some cool movies coming out for the rest of the year, our annual Christmas Batman film we will do at Christmas time, and some other stuff that we're not going to tell you yet. And if you're a Patreon member, it is getting to the end of the month, and we haven't recorded September's Patreon yet, but it will be recorded, and you might get it on Wednesday, October 1st, instead of the beginning of the end of September. But you're going to get it, and we are going to do the Colin Farrell Total Recall for y'all, where Kate Beckinsale poses a whole lot in the movie. So I was
wondering why you guys are like talking about that on the thread. I was like, must be a Patreon episode. Yes. They're going to do.
So that's coming up by the end of next week for our Patreon members. But and if you haven't joined Patreon, go to RealRadioPodcast.com, click that little Patreon button, and for just $2, you can hear our exclusive episodes as I whore myself out to you guys. This is Long always says I'm whoring myself out. But that's all we got. We hope everybody has a good, safe week. And thank you, as always, for listening. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the space mercenary.
And until next time, remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.
Do it.